The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'll be honest, I am angry. I am angry with the world that allowed the dehumanization of Israelis and sanitized the terrorism of Hamas. I must say, I love this show and I love this network, but I've got to ask, who is writing the scripts? Hamas, the people who did this, they are not fighters, Jonathan. They are not militants. And I'm looking right at the camera. They are terrorists. It is a barbarian who rapes and brutalizes women, who kills children in front of their parents. And we know these aren't just reports. These were filmed gleefully by the barbarians who committed these grotesque crimes. They filmed, for example, an elderly woman in her home in one of these towns. They burned her alive in her house because she was too infirm to take out. And, you know, parading women, bleeding from the crotch because they were raped throughout Gaza while people hoot and holler and cheer. You know, when we say, oh, this was an escalation, it was bound to happen. I am sorry. This was a massacre that was pre-planned. This was not destined to happen. It is not normal to shoot teenagers in the back, hundreds of them. So I just think, like, guys, get the story right. And all these pictures of, like, you know, missiles or the rubble in Gaza, please talk to the Israeli mothers and fathers who lost their children. Talk to the grandchildren whose grandparents were seized as hostages. And please stop calling this a retaliation. This is a defensive measure against an organization that is committed to one thing, killing Jews, not a peaceful resolution of a conflict, but murdering Jews.
Commander, the Israeli commander who liberated it from Hamas, says they found the bodies of 40 babies, and some of them with their heads cut off. And that's horrible to even say, but this reporter is on the ground talking to the commander of this kibbutz.
David, it's hard to even explain exactly just the mass casualties that happened right here. In fact, the Israeli military says they still don't have a clear number, but I'm talking to some of the soldiers, and they say what they've witnessed as they've been walking through these different houses, these different communities, babies, their heads cut off, that's what they said, gunned down, families completely gunned down in their beds. No one could expect that it would be like this, the horrors that I'm hearing from these soldiers. As I mentioned earlier, about 40 babies at least were taken out on gurneys. Everything that these soldiers themselves are saying, they say it is unlike anything they've ever seen in their entire lives before.
You just almost run out of words to even describe these heinous acts of violence. It's pure evil. Evil certainly does exist in the world today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. More sobering content, just like on yesterday's program. You can go back and watch that at both of our websites or our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily, or go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch the live stream every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. It's replayed again at night on Live from America TV. That's at Rumble as well, LFA TV, every weekday evening at 8 p.m. in the central time zone of the United States. And of course, across all of these websites, you can watch the shows on demand as well. So 40 babies massacred in this one Israeli town, Kfar Aza. And there's other horrific images coming out of these kibbutzes. as many as 70 terrorists, 70 Hamas gunmen. They came into this community and they were raping and they were beheading and they were killing entire families. You've heard about the music festival, 260 casualties coming from that event. And then just this one kibbutz, at least 100 bodies are just piling up. And yet still, we'll bring the receipts on today's show. Still, you have guests coming on to MSNBC, coming on to CNN, saying that Hamas didn't target civilians, if you can believe it. Just inviting them on, giving them a platform, giving them a voice. Certainly not Donald Trump. Now, don't show a Trump rally. You are forbidden to show a Trump rally on MSNBC and CNN. But go ahead and invite in all these Palestinian spokespeople saying that, no, we're not going after civilians. It's on footage. It's on footage. This massacre. They were filming it proudly. Hamas. Listen to this testimonial. This young lady is speaking in Hebrew, but it's got pretty big subtitles on the video, which you can follow along. This is clip 3.
ברגע שיצאנו מהממד, דודה שלי התקשרה לאמא. בצרחות, תפתחו את הפייסבוק, תפתחו את הפייסבוק. אמא לא הצליחה בכלל לפתוח, רעדה בכל הגוף שלה. אני פתחתי מהטלפון שלי וראיתי זוועה. ראיתי את האסון הכי גדול שאפשר בכלל לדמיין. סבתא שלי על הרצפה בבית שלה, רצוחה בסרטון. כל הרצפה דם, סבתא שלי שוכבת שם. המחבל פשוט לקח את הנייד הפרטי שלה, צילם אותה והעלה את זה לקיר פייסבוק הפרטי שלה. ככה התבשרנו, ככה גילינו את זה. צרחנו ברמות, כולם פה איבדו את זה, צרחנו. זה מראות הכי קשים שאפשר בכלל.
This demonic terrorist, he's in there murdering a grandma. He takes her phone, films it, films the killing, and then uploads it to her Facebook page. And this is how the family found out about grandma being murdered. They filmed it gleefully, as that commentator said in the cold open. And he's a left winger, by the way. Coming on to MSNBC, he's like, hey, Morning Joe, look, I love your show. I love this network. But who is writing these scripts? All that we're going to see for the rest of this week is just buildings bombed in Gaza. That's it. You're going to see rubble. That's it. Nothing about the babies. Nothing about the grandmothers. It's exactly as I said on yesterday's show for 24 hours, if even that. You had some relatively objective coverage. But then in come the Palestinian spokespeople to tell you that no civilians have been targeted. Certainly not. And then the regime media, they just, if they push back at all, it's just very, very, very gently. You see, it takes something like Donald Trump, a tweet on Truth Social or something he says at a rally. I mean, that really will anger the talking heads. But not these propagandists coming on to MSNBC to lie to their face, to lie to your face. I mean, you, as I say, you run out of words to describe this degree of brutality. These are people behaving like wild animals. It's horrifying. How timely is this most recent Trumpet magazine? It's got the Dear Leader on the cover. We'll get to him in just a moment. He's the one running the show in D.C. He's the puppet master. But you open it up to page one, world leaders who no longer have a human mind. It's just like the prophet Daniel prophesied. They're like wild animals, wild beasts of the field. I keep mentioning the days prior to the flood. It's described in Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every imagination, it's just on pure evil. It makes you sigh and cry, as the prophet Ezekiel said, when you think about what our sins have brought upon our nations, what our sins have brought upon this world. 40 babies in one little kibbutz. 40 babies, and they, I mean, you think about the worst of these war crimes, gang raping women and then murdering them and parading their near naked bodies throughout Gaza as people cheered. You think, well, okay, that's the absolute worst as far as crimes against humanity are concerned. And then you come to the story about beheading little infants. God says in verse 11, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's the world we're living in today. It's a world filled with violence. It's a world where the imaginations of man, they're on evil continually. And you look at this Trumpet magazine, how timely is that first article, my father's personal, world leaders no longer have a human mind. My father says here, a new era in world history called the times of the Gentiles has begun. This is language from your Bible, the times of the Gentiles. It will be short and violent, my father writes, but it should not catch you off guard. It shouldn't surprise us, as shocking, as horrifying as it all is. It shouldn't surprise God's people, those who are watching and praying always, as Jesus admonished us to do, those who are praying, thy kingdom come. We need God's kingdom. We need God's government. As I said on yesterday's show, I mean, we were just celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles at various locations around the world, envisioning God's coming government, ruling this earth. You can see why it says that we're to rule with a rod of iron. I mean, this kind of horrific, barbaric activity, this kind of violence, it has to be crushed with the rod of iron. Israel is going to do its best to try to at least crush it within the little nation of Gaza. But how is this mentality, this thinking, going to be forever stamped out? It's not going to be blotted out until after Jesus Christ returns to this earth and rules it with a rod of iron. My father's article says, Daniel made intriguing and astonishing statements about these mighty leaders who would rise to rule the world. We need to think about these statements deeply. God tells us that these mighty military political leaders have the minds of wild beasts. In other words, they no longer have a human mind. How sobering, he writes. How sobering. The leaders of these great powers no longer had the minds of human beings. They had the hearts of wild, raving beasts. That's why these empires are called beasts. They were ruled by men who took on the mind of a beast. And be careful now, thinking that this only applies to Hamas or Hamas's paymaster in Iran. Look at history. Look at the Middle Ages. Look at the atrocities throughout medieval time periods. Look at the Crusades. Look at the violence unleashed against different religions, different races, different people or ethnicities. Nation rising against nation. That's what Jesus prophesied. This is where we're headed. We're headed toward world war. That's what we've got to be emotionally prepared and ready for. It says here, there's a crucial spiritual dimension to such a transformation. These men who become so brutal simply give themselves over to an evil spirit. Such beastly thinking is inspired by Satan the devil. You see, John 8 and verse 44, it says that the devil is a liar and a murderer. And he's the father of all liars and murderers. And so murderers go about their business of beheading infants, and then liars come on TV to tell you that it's not really happening. It's not really happening. This is from another article my father wrote back in 2021. It says, we're entering into the times of the Gentiles. He says, this is the edge of the storm preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says, Israel desperately needs to know how to deal with Gentiles. It obliviously has no idea. Clashes between Gentiles and Israel and the Gentiles and other Gentiles will culminate in the second coming. He says, and this was just a few months after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. He said, disasters like Afghanistan encourage Gentile nations to be even more aggressive. I saw a clip yesterday. It was from Joe Biden in 2007. He was talking about the war effort in Afghanistan, and he talked about what was needed to get out of Afghanistan. He said it would take about a year or whatever, but that you could expedite it if you left all the military munitions there. You could maybe get out in 7 months. But he said, you know what? If we leave those weapons there, they're going to be used against us. So we have to do it the right way. That was Joe Biden, 2007. And what did Joe Biden do in 2021? He evacuated all personnel, U.S. personnel, except for the ones that were still in captivity, and then left all the military hardware, $90 billion worth. And now you read those reports where some of the weaponry that Hamas was using came from Afghanistan. Surprise, surprise. It says here, disasters like Afghanistan encourage Gentile nations to be even more aggressive. The prophet Daniel described four world-ruling empires that act like violent, vicious beasts. This is not limited to Hamas. When the world explodes in violence, in world war, this is the way man's going to treat fellow man. Like wild, vicious beasts, it says. It has been this way in history. This is not something new. When evil men take charge of Gentile nations, these nations become like ferocious beasts. You've got Melanie Phillips and other commentators saying, really, the only comparison to be made here is like with the Holocaust. Just going after Jews. Of course, that was on a mass scale to the tune of millions, but just killing all of them. Grandma, little babies, mama, mothers, fathers, families. That's what happened on Saturday morning. It's just a little tiny, tiny foretaste of great tribulation that's going to engulf the earth. Jesus said so, Matthew 24, 21 and 22. Read it. Read it. Read this book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. And see where this nation, the United States, see where Great Britain, see where the Western nations of Europe factor into Bible prophecy. This is Herbert Armstrong's classic work, the 800 number you can see there, 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today and request the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. It says here, finally, before World War II, Adolf Hitler negotiated peace with British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain to keep getting land concessions, and he always broke his promises. These men are like beasts. We've got a clip of, I don't know if I'll get to it, this former PLO spokesperson who said that, hey, you need to see what happened on Saturday in context. I mean, this is what the Palestinian people have been subjected to for 50 some years. The truth of it is, they were offered statehood from the beginning, and they chose war in 1948. They chose war again in 66, 67. They chose war again in 1973. They chose war during the 80s, the Lebanon, the first and second Lebanon War. They've chosen war. They chose war on Saturday morning. And this woman wants for you to believe that, hey, this is just a retaliation to all of the brutality brought on by the occupiers. Israel doesn't occupy Gaza. They left it in 2005. They didn't have control over one square inch of Gaza. And then you listen to commentators today, and it's as if they have no idea that Gaza has a border that it shares with Egypt, that it has a long border on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, through which it gets a lot of its ammunition, its firearms, from Iran. Israel moves out, says, all right, we'll see if this can work. We'll see if we can live alongside the Palestinians. And what happens the moment that Israel leaves? Well, Hamas, they start throwing PLO members off buildings. Hamas takes control of the strip immediately. And then they do this. As many as 1,000 Hamas terrorists, they just come flooding across the border early Saturday morning while Joe Biden was sleeping. He's still sleeping. They just stream across the border. They go into these kibbutzes. They surround these people at the music festival. They shoot young people in the back as they're fleeing. They shoot any Israeli cars that drive by. You've got, as showed you yesterday, you've got cars just, you know, crashing into curbs or buildings because the driver's hunched over dead. Most of the victims, we'll find out when they're all identified, most of the victims are women and children. Women and children. I mean, these are crimes, war crimes against humanity. They didn't even go looking for the IDF. They went the other direction. Let's go find the babies. And they found them. We're nearing 1,000 casualties. This is like, as you heard yesterday, this is like 30 or 40 9/11s. When you're just looking at it proportionally. Fox News yesterday, Hamas threatened to begin broadcasting the executions of Israeli hostages taken in Saturday's attack. It quotes some guy who spoke on Al Jazeera. He added that the executions would be recorded and broadcasted to the public. See, they were watching ISIS a few years ago. They want to emulate ISIS. Yeah, let's behead them on TV. Live television. Let's put them in cages and lower them into the Mediterranean Sea. Let's burn them to death and show the whole world. Is this people, or are these people operating with a sound mind? Or is this how a ferocious beast, a vicious beast, would reason? Get it on TV. So We've got, what, 10, 12 hours of decently objective coverage? And then what? Well, then out come the propagandists to lie to our faces. This is from PJ Media. For Hamas to be asking for a truce, they want a truce now, you see. They've killed all the babies. They know that the mood in Israel, as you heard yesterday from our correspondent in Jerusalem, there's anger. A visceral anger, all, and as Melanie Phillips says, and we saw it here in America, just for a brief moment in time, as Israelis, they pause from their own internal strife and division and hatred to come together, to band together, and to fight a common enemy. Americans had that same spirit, just briefly after 9/11, but it didn't last very long, did it? Look at what our own divisions and sins have brought upon us. Israel caught sleeping. Hamas murders 1,000, mostly civilians, 1,000 civilians at least, and then retreats and says, because they know the regime media in the West will rise in their defense. Hey, listen, we need a truce. We need a ceasefire. Any kind of retaliation, that's not going to solve the problem. In other words, Hamas can indiscriminately kill anybody. And then the pressure always, we've seen it. It's played out over and over again on a repeated cycle. They tie Israel's hands behind their backs. The international community, the Western media. And you'll hear the word, as I said yesterday, disproportionate. This is from Jesse Waters on his show last night, clip 5.
The U.S. media, MSNBC specifically, their postures always were trying to protect the downtrodden, protect the women and children. And then as women and children and the downtrodden are being slaughtered, their throats are slit, they're taken hostage, they're trying to both sides it. Why would they do that?
Why would the media be so corrupt? Well, as I read to you, Genesis 6, the minds of men, it's on evil continually. Julie Kelly, she tweeted out, it's really sickening to know we live in a country where the media, government, academic elites have more sympathy for murderous Islamic terrorists than Florida grandmothers and Purple Heart vets who walked into the Capitol building. We made this point on the show yesterday. They have more sympathy for these baby killers than they do for grandma who waltzed into the Capitol for 5-10 minutes. Can you believe this? Listen to this. You think, again, the evil is all around. I mentioned this former PLO spokesperson who basically said, look, what's happening in Israel? You know, join the club. This is what we've been facing for decades. Clip 6.
This isn't just a war. This is actually an occupation that has gone on now for 56 years. So what Israelis are now living through over the past 48 hours is what Palestinians have been living through over the course of the past 56 years.
Right. As if Israelis just waltz into Gaza and start beheading the babies. Even on the bombing, they give 2 days warning. You better get out. You better move to another location. You know, and if there's, again, there's shoreline there with the Mediterranean. There's Egypt next door. Why won't Egypt open its gates and just let all the refugees flood in? That's what's happening in the United States. And they're not even refugees, the people we're inviting in. We're just inviting in, you know, the Venezuelan men that are 24 that left their families back home because it's so dangerous. Is that right? Is America under attack? It certainly is. That's this book. I know most of you have it. If you don't, call our operators and request a free copy today. The 800 number there is at the lower third. So you have these kinds of sickening comments. And no one pushes back. None of the hosts push back. That's reserved for Donald Trump and his supporters. Shout them down. I mean, if it's Trump, then Jim Acosta, I mean, just shout him down, even in a press conference. Why not? He's the bad orange man. But this, beheading babies, just let the spokesperson on. Let them go on with their propaganda. Just nod in agreement. And then you see all these demonstrations, as I mentioned on yesterday's show. Did you notice how quickly they were able to mobilize and to come together to show their support for the baby killers? I mean, that in itself is chilling. What is happening in this world? How would they come out the day after the mass killing of babies and wave the Palestinian flag? happened all over the world, didn't it? Here's a sampling, clip one.
Now, we know this is a very sensitive and divisive subject for both sides, given the hundreds of people killed and many more injured. But
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Some sort of rave or desert party where they were having a great time until the resistance came in electrified hang gliders and took at least several dozen hipsters. But I'm sure they're doing very fine despite what the New York Post says. But just less than 24 hours ago on the land, from the sea, and from the air, the people of the Gaza
Thank you all for being here, for raising your voices to celebrate the glorious victory of the resistance. And to honor our martyrs and for marching to show those here in the heart of the empire.
Smiling and I'm happy. I'm elated. It's a day of courage.
Do you think this vicious, animal-like behavior is limited to a little strip next to Israel called Gaza? This is a guy in Sydney, Australia, talking about how much courage the baby killers had. And then you had the woman in New York City, right here in the United States, right here in Manassa. The woman in New York City saying this is a glorious victory. They're gloating. They're cheering. And where is the outrage on MSNBC? Well, MSNBC is giving its nod of approval as well, inviting on the PLO spokesperson to say that, you know, Israel, you got what you deserved. This is retribution. As I say, the speed with which these protests came together, it's very similar to, I mean, they bragged about it in Time magazine. The DNC, they had their foot soldiers ready to take to the streets should they not be able to pull off the steal in 2020. They had the BLM Antifa crowd ready to mobilize just in case they couldn't complete the steal. And you've seen all these other kinds of stories in recent years, how that the flash mobs and whatnot, they're able to get together so quickly because of social media. Isn't social media wonderful? I mean, you can grab grandma's phone and actually film her being murdered and send it right to her Facebook wall. And this is how the family finds out. God says that we ought to sigh and cry for all these violent acts against humanity. The sobering reality is that it's only going to get worse. I mean, we have to be honest with you, and this book, of course, brings that out, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. We're getting a little bit of a preview of what's coming. We've told you before about what Barack Obama's doing right here in the United States, the fundamental transformation. It's an attack from within, and it's vicious. And the only one that's out there doing anything about it, or saying anything about it at least, is Donald Trump. He gets blotted out of MSNBC and CNN. I mean, they talk endlessly about him. They talk all the time about how evil he is, but they won't let him talk. They won't give him a platform. No, give the platform to the former PLO spokesperson, who can get up there and say, you know what, for 56 years, Israel has been killing our babies. Melanie Phillips, she says Israel has been at war many times. It has experienced many terrorist atrocities and many thousands of rocket attacks. That's the context here. The Palestinians could have had a state in 1948. They chose war. The objective here, as Iran has said for years, they haven't tried to conceal it, the mullahs. Israel's the little Satan, and America's the big Satan, and they need to be destroyed. That's the spirit motivating these a thousand terrorists coming across the border, not looking for a military base to fight against the occupiers, so to speak. They were looking for babies. They were looking for women. They were looking for hostages. It says this was something different. Barbarism and depravity against Jews on this scale hasn't been experienced since the Holocaust. This is Melanie Phillips. It says, in a country that arose from the ashes of that genocide, the spectacle of Jews being dragged from their homes to be slaughtered, raped, or captured, with desperate parents throwing themselves on their children to protect them as the parents were murdered, was just unspeakable. This wasn't just terrorism. This was a pogrom. This was a mini Holocaust. It says, because Israel's so small, there's hardly any family that hasn't been caught up in this. Most Israelis have children, grandchildren, and other relatives who've been called up from this conscript army's reserves to serve on the front lines. Yeah, well, I mean, we've been in contact with the Mazar family, and we're finding out, you know, which boy's heading up to Lebanon, which one's going down to Gaza. We've got friends that are being called up. Reservists that are being called up. You heard about this yesterday from Brent Noctegal, our correspondent over there. It's a small country. I mean, you chances are most people in Israel either know a family that's had a victim of this genocide, or they know a family that has a son or a daughter that's going off to fight in this war. What a world this is. The story of war, 6,000 years of it. So much violence, so much animal-like behavior. Herbert Armstrong used to talk at length about the missing ingredient. The missing spiritual ingredient. We're cut off from the Spirit of God, and we've rejected the law of God, and so we don't know how to get along with one another. We can't get along with fellow man. God has a solution. We just were immersed into that solution over the course of the fall festival season. And then you come back to the world today, and it's not a pretty picture. It says here, because Israel's so small, there's hardly a family that hasn't been caught up. Further on, hardly anyone doesn't know of someone who has either been murdered or dragged into the Gaza hellhole. Untold numbers of Israelis are grieving, traumatized, or frantic with anxiety about their relatives who have either been killed or are in harm's way. The horrors that we've all seen have brought people together, she says. Everyone's looking after each other. Our anxieties are compounded by what we all know. We all know that the real enemy we're facing in this onslaught is Hamas's paymaster, Iran. That's the real enemy behind this onslaught. I mean, if there's been one bit of, you know, good coverage among conservative media, it's at least calling out Iran. But when you hear the talking heads doing it here in the United States, you're left with a question of, well, where was that talk 22 years ago? Iran was clearly behind the 9/11 attacks. That was the one, the head of the snake. Melanie Phillips even referred to that phraseology in another article she wrote on Saturday. The head of the snake is Iran. We knew in 2001 that Iran was the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Listen to this montage of some pretty good commentary on the real root cause of this horrific violence, these horrific acts, these crimes against humanity. This is clip 15.
We must confront Iran. Hamas is Iran's proxy. They brag that they were helped by Iran to attack Israel. We must counter this new axis of power. It's an evil axis of Iran, Russia, and China. They're making billions of dollars, and they're using that wealth to fund terrorism, attacking our allies and killing Americans. And it must stop today.
How much more death and destruction do we have to take from the Iranian regime? I am confident this was planned and funded by the Iranians. Take it to the Iranians. If you harm one American in Syria by using your Iranian militia against us in Syria, if you escalate the war by urging Hezbollah to attack Israel in the north, if Hamas kills one American and Israeli hostage, we're going to blow up your oil refineries and put you out of business. It is now time to take the war to the Ayatollah's backyard.
If Iran is really pulling all of the strings here,
if it is confirmed that Iran was the one that backed this, that planned this, that put this together, which it certainly appears to be the case.
Anyone who tells you that Iran is not involved, they are lying to you. We've never seen anything like this in 50 years.
Right. Iran is behind this. They scored a strategic victory here.
Be honest with the American people and understand that Hamas knows and Iran knows they're moving money around as we speak because they know $6 billion is going to be released. That's the reality.
I'm sick and tired of watching Democrats try to cover up for their complicity. It is this Democrat administration, the Biden administration, my Democratic colleagues in Congress, who are complicit in what has now just occurred in Israel. Because of their appeasement policies, their head-in-the-sand policies, and they want to hide behind, oh, the $6 billion that is sitting there in Qatar. Don't worry, Mark. Don't worry, Chip. You shouldn't get upset about that because they're not using it. Not a dollar's been spent. Bull. That's going to fund the next attack if it hasn't already funded the current attacks.
This didn't happen without Iran's authority and munitions and the rest.
Tactically, there's been a great improvement by Hamas, and I think you have to ascribe that improvement to Iranian backing. We know that, for example, 95% of the rockets that are fired at us from Gaza are actually made in Iran, and the remainder are made by Iranian-trained Palestinian engineers. So Iran is very deeply involved in Gaza. Islamic Jihad is wholly owned and operated by Iran, and Hamas is deeply financed and supported by Iran. So I think it's very reasonable to assume that Iran was intimately involved with this.
This is at its core about historic efforts by Iran to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Make no mistake about it.
All of that's true, but then you have to wonder, what will actually be done? You think Israel's going to get $120 billion like Ukraine did? I mean, the money train into Ukraine, it continues. You think we're going to get behind the Israel war effort the way that we do Ukraine? I mean, Biden comes out on Saturday. He speaks for like 2 minutes. 2 minutes. While these animals were beheading babies. And it took him until mid-afternoon. The attack started at what time? I think it was about midnight, our time, over here in the States. And there's Joe Biden hobbling up to the podium at 3 in the afternoon, really? 3 in the afternoon on Saturday? Yesterday, he put a lid on his activities at noon. And then you look at all that goes on behind the scenes. This is from John Ratcliffe, the former director of National Intelligence. Speaking of that $6 billion, he says it's not just the $6 billion, which clearly is going to further enrich Iran. It's closer to $60 billion. If you look at what the Biden administration has done to help this Islamic terrorist regime in Iran by stopping the enforcement of sanctions, by lifting restrictions, by allowing Iranian oil to increase by 650%. This is all orchestrated by the dear leader. That's why it took the dear leader about 72 hours to come out with a statement. Forget about Biden. Where was his statement Saturday? His lips were sealed. He finally came out with some kind of token tweet yesterday. It says here, lifting restrictions by allowing Iranian oil to increase by 650% over the last year from 400,000 barrels of oil a day to 3 million barrels of oil a day. All of this has strengthened the Iranian regime. They're awash in cash. They've got the oil industry. It's booming. It's not booming in the States because Obama won't let any more drilling happen in the States. But I mean, they drill, baby, drill, say the mullahs. They've gone from 400,000 barrels a day to 3 million. It's not just 6 billion we're talking about. We're talking about 60 billion. And yet you've got these liars, these propagandists coming forward saying, oh, none of that's being used for terrorism. Certainly not. Where's that clip from Kirby, if you can find it? This is clip 11.
You insist the Iranian regime won't touch the $6 billion of Iranian funds being unfrozen. But isn't it true that this frees Tehran up to spend more on other nefarious goals like supporting terrorism and boosting its nuclear program?
Well, to the degree that they continue destabilizing activities and it's, you know, I can't predict what they'll do going forward here, but we are already have pressure in place on Iran, both through sanctions and through our military presence in the Gulf region. We won't hesitate to take additional actions as we see further destabilizing activity by Iran. But
critics say it frees up other funds for Iran to finance terrorism. The exiled son of Iran's last Shah calling history the best guide.
We saw what happened to the money that was released to the Iranian regime under the Obama administration. It went to further finance the regime's proxies in Syria and Lebanon.
Victor Davis Hanson, he had a pretty lengthy tweet the other day saying that in a larger sense, the Biden administration has contributed both to the notion that Hamas was a legitimate Middle East player and to the perception that the U.S. was backing away from its traditional support for Israel. See, Iran saw this. They see what's happening. They know they have Barack Obama's hearty endorsement. Barack Obama stood up for the mullahs when the Green Revolution nearly toppled that Islamic regime, that radical Islamic regime. That was back in 2009. Obama, I mean, the first person he calls was Mahmoud Abbas when he comes into the presidency in 2009. Then he goes off to Cairo. That was in June, I believe, June of 2009. He's bowing before all of these Arab leaders. It's not even like he tried to conceal whose side he was on from the beginning. Victor Davis Hanson says, in February, Secretary of State Blinken had bragged that not only had the Biden administration resumed massive aid to the PLA, canceled by Trump, Trump canceled it, and Joe Obama resumed it, but cumulatively had transferred $1 billion, even as Palestinian authorities bragged that they would continue to pay bounties to the families of martyrs, quote unquote. The terrorists, in other words. The terrorists who get killed carrying out their atrocities, the PLA pays their family money, gives them a nice pension, I guess. Hanson says, and millions of American dollars also went into Gaza, run by Hamas. Despite the Biden administration's efforts to keep mostly quiet the resumption of such inexplicable support. And then you have this. The Biden administration had recently released some $6 billion to Iran. Well, it talks about the money. But then further on, notice this. Hansen says, almost immediately after his inauguration, Biden mobilized to resume the bankrupt Iran deal. And in unhinged fashion, he appointed the anti-Israeli bigot, pro-Iranian journalist Robert Malley as America's chief negotiator. I mean, you can't make this up. No wonder we're not hearing from Biden. And we're hearing precious little from the dear leader. It says, note that Malley is now under FBI investigation for security breaches involving disclosing classified U.S. documents and also for allegedly helping pro-Iranian activists and propagandists land influential billets inside the U.S. government. I mean, we've been infiltrated, not just by the communists, by these radical Islamists as well. They're working for the dear leader. It says, upon the ascension of Biden and his woke military agendas, we saw the following: the complete humiliation of the U.S. in Kabul in the most shameful flight in 50 years and greatest abandonment of equipment in its history, followed by Vladimir Putin's opportunistic invasion of Ukraine, followed by China's new belligerence and escalating threats to Taiwan, followed by Turkey's new de facto alliance with Russia and recent drone encounter with the U.S. Air Force in Syria, followed by the Hamas-Iranian-inspired attack on Israel with more to come, unfortunately. In other words, since Joe Obama stole the election, the world has been going up in flames. I don't have time to play a montage for you. The regime going on and on, nonstop, I mean, endlessly, about how that Donald Trump was going to start World War III. Look at the world today. Imagine if you had an honest press looking at Ukraine, looking at Chinese belligerence, looking at what's happening now in Gaza, and saying, look at what this administration, if it hasn't caused it directly, it certainly isn't doing anything to stop it. No, the killers go into southern Israel. They start beheading the little infants. And we get 2 minutes, a 2-minute statement from Joe Biden. We get 48 hours of silence from the dear leader. Nothing. Says here, and will Biden finally get the message from the attacks on the Ukraine and Israeli borders that borders matter and we too are being invaded? This is Victor Davis Hanson. We too are being invaded with the encouragement of the Mexican government and to the advantage of the cartels whose fentanyl exports kills 100,000 Americans every year. No wonder. When Israel came under attack on Saturday morning, you had this official for Palestinian Affairs tweet, "We urge all sides to refrain from violence and retaliatory attacks." All sides. And we urge Israel not to retaliate. That's coming from U.S. officials. That's coming from the Joe Obama administration. Make sure you call our operators today and request America under attack. That's all we have time for on today's show. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.